My name is Shannon McKinless. I'm 17 years old. Today is January 15th, 2018, and I'm speaking with Peter Finley, who is my grandpa. We are recording this interview in River Edge, New Jersey. Okay. Do you know the story of why and how our ancestors came to this country?
Our ancestors? Sure. My father was born in Ireland, and he came here in 1929. He had been the oldest in the family, which traditionally they were supposed to get the farm. He decided he didn't want to do that. He just wanted to go make a whole new life for himself. So he came here. My grandmother's parents came from Ireland as well, under pretty much the same conditions, just to have a better life, because they're on farms and they didn't enjoy them. They didn't enjoy themselves very much there, as they would have, jumping on a ship and coming here. And what I think is courageous about them is that they never once thought they would ever go back again to visit their parents, their friends.
Okay. Tell me about your parents and what your life was like growing up.
We had a pretty nice house, a nice family. I have two brothers. We all got along pretty well. My father worked very hard to take care of us, and my mother also, at one point, became the owner of a candy store, and that was a 7-day-a-week job, and my father would fill in on his days off and so on. We were all lucky; we were able to stop by and get all the candy we wanted, all the ice cream we wanted.
Had the only telephone.
Yes. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Because of that, my mother was at the candy store, and my grandmother lived with us, and she took care of us. And my mother liked to check on us on a regular basis, so she had the public telephone in the candy store. So we installed a telephone in our house, and the only number we used was the number for the candy store, because we didn't know anybody else with a telephone. We were the first people we knew. But it was by no means a wealthy situation. It was closer to poor than wealthy. It was a very, very, very nice way to grow up.
Share with me a story of how you and Grandma met, and tell me about your wedding.
Well, we met on a bus going to a winter resort to go skiing. And the truth of the matter is that she was there with several of her girlfriends, and I was there with some of my friends. And we were taking up with us, because it was a bring your own, so we were taking up some bottles of scotch to the resort. And because we're on a bus and we weren't driving, we figured we wouldn't mind having a drink. But we had no cups to drink out of, or glasses or anything. But Claire, my wife, and her, and your grandmother, and her friends all had chock full of nuts coffee cups. Mm-hmm. So that's how we got together. We shared our scotch, and they shared
their cups
with us. So, so then we saw each other I wasn't even a skier at the time. We were just up there for the fun of it. Mm-hmm. And we met here and there, but on the final night up there, we did meet at this place called the Tally Ho. And we also spent a little more time together, and then we spent more time on the bus coming home. I took her phone number, we dated, and 7 months later, we were married.
7 months?
Yes.
How old are you?
7 months. I was 25, she was 24. We were certainly ready. I got along very well with her parents, and she got along very well with my parents, and life was really pretty good. Oh, and it's, just as an aside, just only a year ago, we were up in the same area. It was in the Berkshires, and we actually went to the place where we spent the weekend with this huge crowd, and we went to the place called the Tally Ho, where we spent most of our time getting acquainted. So it was very interesting. 53 years later.
Tell me about your prom. And what did you wear? Who did you go with? And what was the night like?
Everybody wore a tux. It was rented, of course. As I mentioned before, it was the prom bid then was only $15. And I dated a girl, I was dating her at the time, Betty Riley. And she came to the prom with me. And it took place in the CYO auditorium. It was nothing fancy like the proms of today. It was, but once it was over, then, you know, everybody jumped in cars and went to various places. And back in those days, as long as you had a designated driver, was in New York, and you could drinking age was only 18, and many of us were already 18, so we went to this place. But the other thing that I mentioned before was that in those days, anybody in New York, whether it was Brooklyn, Queens, Staten Island, anywhere, at a prom, usually the couples went and spent the last thing they did in the evening was take a ride back and forth on the Staten Island Ferry, which was just traditional. Everybody did it.
Can you tell me about a historic event that had an impact on your life and what your most vivid memories are? So you could talk about anything like a war or the assassination of JFK or 9/11.
Well, I do recall way, way back when World War II was on. I was really pretty young, but I do remember how devastating it was when a person in the family was drafted into the army during the war. I remember my uncle being drafted, and I remember my grandmother really being sick for a long period of time, and everybody worried very much about him being away. And finally, when the war was over, he was fine, but he was the only member of the family, the close immediate family, who was drafted at that time. Either people were too old or too young. I don't know any world event that had a...
Live in D.C. when...
Yes, of course. You know more about it than I do.
I remember Grandma talking about it.
When we first were married, we lived in... we both worked in Washington, D.C., and we lived just outside in Maryland. And we were married in September. And in November, President Kennedy was assassinated. And it turns out that the night before he was assassinated, I was rushed to the hospital with a bleeding ulcer. And the next day, it was all over the television, everything, the whole thing. And it was a real change that took place in everybody's lives. I remember my father coming to visit, and they drove all the way down from Staten Island, and his radio wasn't working in the car. It wasn't until we were in the hospital room that we told him, and he almost fell on the floor because it was such a blow to him. And we had it was a very, very somber period in that area of the world, and we had many, many visitors come because they wanted to visit the gravesite. And it was very sobering to be there at a time when the worst thing that could have happened to a president happened in our lifetime. So.
I think that's it.
That's it?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
We should have